This is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. On today's show, we have Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Matt. It's great to be back.
You know, I wanted to chat today about Internet Safety Month, which is this month, June, and I wanted to get your take on maybe some best practices that users should be aware of while online and to be safe with the Internet.
Okay. It's a pretty broad subject, and there's a lot. So what I like to do is take care of the low hanging fruit, the stuff that's really easy for people to do. And two of those things are very related to each other, though different subjects. One of them is password control, making good passwords, having unique right. passwords. And the other one is not falling for phishing attacks, which part of that is related to passwords, but not all of it. So Paul Adansky recently did a great blog on passwords. If you go to the ESET website, you can find his blog, No Chocolates for My Password, Please. And he talks about using password management programs, because the truth is users are not going to be able to maintain good, strong passwords for multiple accounts if they don't have a way to manage those passwords. You just don't remember 20 really good strong passwords. Most people aren't going to remember five of them, but with the appropriate software tools, you can. And it's very important to have unique passwords for each of your accounts. In the case of the Sony breach, if you were a PlayStation or Curiosity user and your account was breached and they got your password, your Sony account would be the only one at risk if that was the only account you used that password on.
Right.
If you use
right.
that on your email accounts, which they got your email address too, you've pretty much thrown the whole basket of eggs at them, you know? You've got all your eggs in one basket when you use one password for multiple sites. So
right. I mean, it seems so basic, but I'm sure as a security expert, you see all the time that people use the same password for multiple accounts.
We even see where security experts use really bad passwords for even one account. So
exactly.
So, you know, it is really important to have good passwords. And Paul's article gives some great tips on that. So it's no chocolates for my password, please, which the title came from a study done in England a few years back where this huge percentage of users were willing to trade their password for a chocolate.
Interesting.
Now, to protect yourself against phishing, you know, there are two ways to go about doing this. One is to recognize that the email or instant message or whatever is a phishing attack.
Right.
That's not viable. I mean, most security professionals, seasoned security professionals, cannot accurately identify 100% of phishing attacks. The internet and computers are way too easy to create spoofs that look very realistic. And you don't actually have to recognize a fish for a fish to not become a victim. The second way to avoid becoming a victim is behavioral. You see, it isn't the phishing email that compromises your information. It's responding to the phishing email. So I've got two really simple rules that anyone can use, even if they understand virtually nothing about computers, and prevent themselves more than 90% of the time, I'd estimate, from becoming a victim of a phishing attack. So rule number one is always assume that it's a thief or an idiot who's asking if someone asks for your password.
Right.
So if you get an email that says your Hotmail account has a security problem and we need you to verify this information or we're going to have to lock you out or close your account or update our records, whatever, and it asks for your password, it's either a thief or an idiot that sent it to you. In the case of Hotmail, Yahoo Mail, Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, all those cases, if you get an email asking for your password, it's a thief. It really is a thief 100% of the time. These companies are not going to ask for your password. And if it isn't a thief asking for your password, just assume it's an idiot and you don't give your password to idiots because they'll give it to a thief.
Right, exactly.
Now, I know this is going to really ruffle the feathers of some IT people because there are times that IT people can better do their jobs if they get the user's password. These are very rare times, and it's up to the IT professional to teach their users that only a thief or an idiot is going to ask for the password and what the exceptions are. So the exceptions to that are the user who's being asked for the password has to know it is a trusted IT professional they're giving their password to for a legitimate reason. And when I say has to know, email doesn't count. You don't email the password.
Right.
I mean, even that would have an exception, and that's context. That's, okay, if I'm overseas and I've initiated the contact and I know from context and all that, maybe, although I usually wouldn't give it over email anyway. But best, if you're going to be asking a user for their password, you better be standing in front of them, because otherwise you're just teaching them terrible habits. And the other thing is, if you make that exception, you reset your password as soon as possible. Because even though he's a trusted computer security professional, he or she doesn't want you falling into bad practices. You let someone know your password, you change your password. Now, the second rule is don't log into a website if you clicked on a link to get there. So you get LinkedIn requests, don't you?
Yep.
Somebody wants you to join their network, right?
Exactly.
And there's a little icon there or picture that says accept or view invitation, right?
Right, right in the email, yep.
Yeah, if you click on that, you're going to a website that looks like it's LinkedIn, and it might be LinkedIn, and it's going to ask you to log in, right?
Yes.
You're not going to see the difference between a LinkedIn phish and a real LinkedIn email. They're going to look right. Identical to you. The difference between being safe and being a victim is whether you logged in from clicking on that link or typed in www.linkedin.com. If you typed in linkedin.com and logged in there, the request will be in your inbox if it's legitimate, and it won't be if it's a phish.
Exactly.
You get a Facebook friend request. You get a Facebook comment. Somebody commented on your wall, right? You get an email. You can click on the link there. Now, if you're already logged into Facebook, it'll just take you right to the thread. But if it takes you to a login page, regardless of whether or not you were logged in, if it takes you to a login page, close the browser.
Right.
Log into Facebook at facebook.com and view your information that way. You just follow these two simple steps, and more than 90% of the time, a phishing attack won't work. And I'd guess it's more than 99% of the time a phishing attack won't work. So, you know, this is National Internet Safety Month, which it's also celebrated in Canada, which gives credence to my theory that Canada is actually one of the states in the U.S. That's for our researcher, Pierre Marc, who hails from Canada.
Yep, definitely.
But, you know, internet safety really is more than a month long. So if this month you can just put those two practices into place, good passwords and don't fall for phishing attacks by following those two simple rules, you've made significant progress for the whole year. But I recommend that each month you learn something new to do.
Well, Randy, as always, thanks so much for sharing those insightful tips with us. If you would like to learn more, feel free to visit the ESET blog for additional tips and best practices. You can also like ESET on Facebook for the latest news. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.